So I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And we are still in 1 Peter. Last Sunday we were here talking about our privileges, our spiritual privileges that we have in Jesus Christ. And we discussed last time how that the chapter here, chapter 2 of 1 Peter, starts off talking about our duties. And often, you know, our walk with God, we often think in terms of duties. And that can be understood because, as we've seen here, that we do have a work to do, right? Even that God has not called us just to eat, as we said last Sunday. You know, people talk about getting fed. Well, we're also called to serve. Amen. Called to serve one another, called to serve the body of Christ. And so, you know, there's many that are sitting home today because they say, you know, I can get fed at home. And that may be true with today's technology. There are all ways to be fed at home. A whole lot better preaching than me this morning on the internet. A lot of good stuff out there. I've heard it. And you can be fed. And you can be fed well. But the reality of it is we're called to be more than just fed. Amen. We're called to serve. We're called to minister. And so as we were looking last week at the temple or the house of God that was being built up, we talked about being lively stones and what it was to be a stone. And so our text here in 1 Peter chapter number 2, let's just read it again. And we're going to pick up with another aspect of it this morning. And by the time we get done with this, you may be very familiar with 1 Peter chapter number 2. And if you are, then I have accomplished what I've set out to do. Amen. Because that's what we want to do. We want the word of God to be in our heart, in our head, and in our heart. Amen. We got to get it in our mind, don't we? Amen. So let's do that this morning. To whom coming, verse number 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And so we've been looking at these few passages here the last few Sundays, and we'll continue on as we're talking about our spiritual privileges. We looked at the duties briefly, but now as we've gotten into these privileges and talking about that living stone as coming unto, remember last Sunday talking about coming unto the living stone. That's where our privilege began, that we come unto Christ, that we come to Jesus. I mean, that we come in faith, that we come in repentance, that we come in surrender. And in that, we will find forgiveness. We will find the mercy of Jesus Christ. And we will find an abundant life. Amen. That we will find a new living way, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So that's where the privileges began, as we're coming unto a living stone. Now, we talked a little bit last Sunday about that analogy that's given with stone. And, of course, we're building this house. We're not building the house, but God has built the house. And as a spiritual house, he says, you're building up a spiritual house. And so this spiritual house, of course, last time we looked at that cornerstone, that chief cornerstone being Jesus Christ. Now, if you were of the first century and you heard the word stone or coming unto a stone for salvation or coming as unto a living stone, well, first you might think of the pagans and how that they would come to stones, to their gods of stone and of wood, things that were made or carved of man's hands. Deuteronomy 4 and 28 says this, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. And so that term stone would become kind of symbolic of that of a god or an idol god. But that idol God, as pointed out here by Moses and to the children of Israel, it can't hear, it can't see, it can't eat, and it can't smell. And so they were said, don't turn to these things. But Habakkuk says it this way: woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. And so that was a woe. That was a warning to them. It says, woe unto them that speak to dumb stones. But we haven't come to a dumb stone. Amen. Peter says we've come unto a living stone. Amen. A stone that it's not given to be kind of representative of an idol or something that we would put into our house or something that we would worship, but it's a stone of a building. And it's that chief cornerstone, disallowed or rejected of men, as we looked at how that it was tested. The first century Jews looked at Christ, they looked at him, they tested him, they rejected him. But although he was disallowed of men, yet of God he was chosen. Chosen of God and precious. And so there it goes into talking about this stumbling stone or this stone of offense, the rock of offense being that of Christ. And so we don't really need to go into all that again as we work our way down through this passage of Scripture. Really, it kind of, we linked all that together with the living stone or the lively stone, built up to a spiritual house, and talks about the chief cornerstone laid in Zion, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, or as the Old Testament scripture says, shall not be put to shame, same meaning there. Amen. Why? Because the promises of God, as the Bible teaches us, are yea and amen. Amen. And that if we put our faith and our confidence in the Lord, that he is faithful to do what he said he would do. Amen, that God will accomplish what he said he would accomplish, and he has through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so this living stone, this cornerstone of the great spiritual kingdom that the architect is building, rejected of men, inspected, tested, and rejected, but yet chosen and precious of God. And this house being built, and we looked at our privilege, our number one privilege last week, and it was that of our union with this precious stone. Our union with Christ, because as we've come unto a lively stone or a living stone, he says, ye also as lively stones. Amen. So that links us to Jesus. We are represented through Jesus. We are covered by the precious blood of Jesus. And in turn, we have become lively stones. Amen. And that doesn't mean that we sit there like a dead stone, but it says we're lively stones. Living. It's a spiritual house. And so we're part of this house, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and we are members in particular. And as this house is being built up, this spiritual house, and of course what would come to mind there is some type of temple being built. And it's not built by normal stones, but it's built by these spiritual or these lively stones. And this house being built, and inside this house is an holy priesthood. And what is the job of this holy priesthood? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So our number one privilege was that of our union with Christ. Number two is this, as we think about this spiritual house that's being built up. And so this priesthood inside this house, and when you think about a priest, or if you think about particularly of a high priest, as we're going to look at some of this morning, you're thinking about that one that had access to God, that one that went to God on behalf of all the peoples. Now, to really get an understanding of what Peter's talking about, we've got to think about the Old Testament context and what it means there. And that when we, just as we thought about our union with Christ, and you remember last time we looked at the vine and all, and Jesus, I guess in John 15, talks about the vine. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He said, if you abideth in me, you shall bring forth fruit. Amen. And so we're thankful for our abiding. But then he went on to say, for without me, you can do nothing. Amen. So we must have that union with Christ. As a high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed there in John chapter number 17, he says, I in them and thou in me. And so we are in Christ, Christ in us. And so that's that union that we're talking about. Paul talks a lot about that in 1 Corinthians, about us being the temple of God, your body being the temple of the living God, and how that we don't take the temple of God and we join it or be united with harlots, but we are united with Christ in you, the hope of glory. as Paul told the church there in Colossia. And so he's available. We have access to God. Every need, every trial that we go through, every circumstance in our life, we this morning in this spiritual house, we have a holy priesthood. Now, it is interesting to do this, and I did this week. I just went through because, you know, we talk about the priesthood, and we think about, oh, yeah, we're kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And so what that really means, what does it mean? You know, we can get excited about it, right? I tell you, you're a priest in the house of God. You can say, all right, thank God for that. What does it mean? I'm not sure, but I'm glad I'm a priest. Amen. But there's actually a whole lot to that, isn't it? When we think about what it means to have access to God and then referencing that back to the Old Testament scripture, I sometimes think in my own life that, you know, you've been serving God for a lot of years, and you've been in church, you've been, you know, God's been your God for many years, and I don't want to just get comfortable and think and just take advantage and just take for granted the things that we have in Christ Jesus. But sometimes I want to step back and say, God, thank you for what you've provided for me. And I want to walk in that. I want to walk in your fullness. God, I want all that you have for me. Amen. All that you have. And so I was thinking this week as I was getting ready for something. I can't remember what it was now, but I thought, God, you know, what does it mean to really have all that you have? Or what does it mean to really just walk in your fullness? Does it mean that, you know, we demonstrate this miraculous power at all times of our life? Does it mean that, you know, we walk around and speaking in tongues all the time, or we walk around casting out devils and we do this and we do that? Is it that we're looking for? And I don't in any way want to make light of any of that, because I do believe in a move of God, and I do believe in tongues, and I do believe that we have the power over the enemy. I do believe that we in Christ Jesus are filled with his fullness, and he's given to us power. He told us, hold him there in the book of Acts, he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So I'm thankful for power, but, you know, if you've been serving God for as long as I have, and many of us have, we've served God for a lot of years, and we've seen people that spoke in tongues, that prophesied, that did all these manner of things, even cast out devils and all these things, but yet they walked into some kind of ungodliness and some kind of disobedience to God. And so I thank God, okay, I don't want that. I don't want to go that route. Amen. And it was like, it just kind of hit me this past week, like just hit me hard. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden it come to me. As I guess it was Romans that talks about that we have received of the love of God. Of the great, John that said, oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. And so as we looked at this priesthood, as we look at it this morning, what I want us to think about is maybe not so much even just this our idea of power, but that God would fill us with his love. That he would bestow upon us the love that only he can give. And it's through that love that we are demonstrating Jesus to our world. And you're probably like me, you've heard love in our day. I mean, until you're just tired of it, you know. I've been through a lot of towns this past summer riding around. Every town has a big sign that says love. So there's one thing we don't have to worry about here is love. Love, love, love. We got one in Farmville, a big sign, love. Seeing people take pictures in front of a sign, love. We got to love one another. And to that we say amen. Amen. But what does it mean to love as Christ has loved us? Amen. What kind of love do we as a church need to demonstrate to our world? Amen. So I don't want to get too far into that until let's talk a little bit about this priesthood. All right, because we've got access to God. The majority of our world do not have this access that we enjoy this morning. None of the world. But when we think about the people of the world, there are very few that have it. Matter of fact, Jesus says it this way, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life. And what did he say? Few there be that find it. Few there be. It's an exclusive way. Exclusive. Having lunch with my, we got a bunch that goes out to lunch every Friday. Can't do it every day, but we do it on Fridays. Just some way we celebrate Fridays. Friday, Friday, buddy. So we go out and celebrate by having lunch together. So it's just a small group of us. And so we got every Friday. And so we usually get into some good conversation, some not worth the time, but there are some good ones. Well, this past week we were talking about something, and talking about a certain individual, and they said, well, he's a Christian, what they told me. And I happen to know that, you know, he also has a little Hyper Christian thing sitting on his dashboard or something like that. And I was like, well, I said, I understand what you're saying. I said, but the problem with that is that Christianity is exclusive. And they looked at me like, they didn't like it. I said, once it ceases being exclusive, it is no longer Christianity. Once we begin to mix it with other religions, it is no longer that which saves us or that which brings life. Amen? Because, matter of fact, Jesus says it this way. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he talked about that thief that cometh up another way. He says, if you try to come up any other way than through the door, you are a thief and you are a robber. So with that said this morning, when we think about our priesthood and we think about what we have, this royal priesthood, as it's called later on in this, it's called a holy priesthood in verse number 5. When we get down into verse number 9, it says it is a royal priesthood. So when we think about that priesthood this morning, we're talking about our access to God and that access that only comes through Jesus Christ. It cannot be mixed. We cannot say God plus this. It's Jesus plus nothing. Amen? And that is the only way into his presence. And so you and I this morning that's been serving God, we have access unto the Father. That's how we come to prayer this morning. Well, in Old Testament scripture, Israel, they didn't all enjoy that. Now, it does seem that when God first brought Israel out of Egypt, that he had declared that they were going to be a kingdom of priests. Matter of fact, he says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. But because of their disobedience, they weren't allowed to draw near unto God. There's a lot of signs that says stay out. Maybe not literally, but that's really what was taking place there. That because of their sin, they could not come unto God. So God created this priesthood. He called out Aaron and his sons, and to be sort of as an intermediary, if you will, between God and the people. And their chief function was to offer sacrifices unto God. And so that there's much that we can read. I just want to look at a few places here because I know this could get rather long, and I'm going to try to avoid that. You say amen to that. But if you look at this priesthood, particularly there's two places that we want to look at. It's in Exodus chapters 28 and 29. If you want to write these down, you can read them later on your own because it's not a passage that you're going to read a lot of. And Leviticus as well, it's one of those books that we read it because we feel like we have to, and then we try to avoid it all other times. But there is a whole lot in here. Exodus 28 and 29, then Leviticus 8 and 9. Exodus being that which, when it is given, and then Leviticus 8 and 9 is when it is carried out. And so here's the instruction is given in Exodus 28, and then Leviticus 8 and 9 is carried out. But in these passages, we can find this role of the priesthood and that how he had access to God on behalf of the people. He offered sacrifices. And it is interesting that when this instruction is given to particularly Moses here, what Moses is commanded to do, that before any priest, before Aaron, before any of his sons, could ever go and minister on behalf of the people, before they could ever go and slay the first sacrifice, before they could ever go and do any of these things, God called Moses to sanctify them and to set them apart and to anoint them and to wash them and to clothe them. That was Moses' job. And until that was done, none of Aaron or his sons could go up and stand on behalf of the people of God. Now, there was a time earlier on in the Old Testament scripture, you can read this, about, of course, we think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You think about Noah even, or even Job. You remember Job when he offered up sacrifices on behalf of his sons because they had been feasting. He said perhaps they had sinned against God, so he offers up a sacrifice. So you can find in the patriarchal period of the Old Testament scripture where, you know, people like Abraham, people like Isaac, Jacob, even Noah and Job and others that would offer a sacrifice unto God on behalf of themselves or even the people. But when we get over to the Exodus and the instruction is given here, particularly in Exodus chapter number 28, we're fine where God is going to set Aaron, being of the tribe of Levi, and his sons apart for the service in the temple of God, and particularly the role of the priesthood. And so we find here a few aspects of this priesthood. And we find first in 28 and 1, this chosen by God. This, you couldn't volunteer to be a priest. You couldn't just say, well, I want to be a priest when I grow up. You may be from the tribe of Reuben, or you may be from the tribe of Dan. You say, I want to be a priest. Well, if you weren't of the tribe of Levi, you were excluded. You could not grow up and one day be a priest. But here it says, here's God's instruction to Moses about this priesthood. 28 and 1 says, take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So first we find they were chosen of God. Couldn't volunteer. There was not an election that was given. We're getting ready to have an election this Tuesday, and we're going to vote certain things into office. It wasn't like that in the priesthood. You could not, you know, run for that position, be elected into it. It was chosen of God. It was ordained of God. And anybody outside of this tribe of Levi could not minister as a priest, and anybody outside of the sons of Aaron could not fill the role of the high priest and minister unto God. And you can find the Old Testament scripture where there were those that tried, and it never went well for them. Think about King Uzziah. Remember King Uzziah, the Bible says that when he was lifted up, Isaiah says, when King Uzziah was lifted up in pride, when you read there in the Chronicles of the Kings, and you can find where he took upon himself the role of the priesthood. And he went in to burn incense unto God. And the high priest tried to stop him from doing that. He and, like, it was a bunch of them, tried to stop him from doing that. And, of course, he was angry with the high priest because he felt like, you know, he'd reached a certain level of position. And he had the liberty to go in and offer this or burn this incense unto God. And, of course, you know the story how the king Uzziah was immediately struck him with what? Leprosy. And he died a leper because he tried to take on the role that was not intended for him to take on. King Saul, same thing happened. You remember when Samuel was going out to meet Saul, and they were going out to fight the Philistines. I guess Saul thought that Samuel was running a little bit behind schedule. So he says, well, here come the Philistines. My people are scattering. I think I need to take this upon myself and offer this sacrifice unto God. And, of course, he did that. And then here comes Samuel. Saul, what have you done? Well, you were running late. The people were scattering, and the Philistines were gathering themselves against us. I had to think quick, so I thought it was a good thing for me to go ahead and offer this sacrifice. And what did Samuel say? You've done bad. You've done wrong, and because of that, you're cursed. And from that day on, Saul and his family was cursed. And so there's many times a Korah, remember the sons of Korah? Korah was actually a Levite, but yet he chose to bring in people from the tribe of Reuben and said, we're going to burn incense unto God. That was the job of the priest only. And so Korah brings these people from the tribe of Reuben in, and God judged them because of it. The ground opened up, consumed them, and consumed their family. So this role of priesthood is meant to be taken pretty seriously, isn't it? I mean, I don't mean to be coy about that, but the fact is, this is not something that you would take lightly upon yourself. Because when God says it, I want you to do it according to the pattern. He says, I'm setting up people from the tribe of Levi, chosen of God. He called them out. No volunteers, no votes were taken, but chosen of God. And so when we think about our priesthood, what can we say this morning? John 15 and 16 says this, you have not chosen me, But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That word to be ordained there means to put or to place or appointed. And so God called out from the tribe of Levi. I'm not sure this is going to add a whole lot to it, but I did think it was interesting. I wanted to go back and read a little bit about Levi. And I was like, well, what kind of man is this guy, Levi? He must have been something. All he and his children would be the ones picked out to fill the role of the priesthood. So here it is, Genesis 49. Look back. Genesis 49. 49 and 5. This is how great a person this guy Levi was. Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou unto their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So Levi, particularly Simeon and Levi here, is described as a fierce man. He's described as a man of anger because in his anger, they slew a man. Of course, that goes back to the story of their sister and how that they avenged her because of her. She had been abused by other people, and Simeon and Levi went in their anger and they slew him. And so because of that, God judged them, and they would never possess land of their own as other people would, of the other tribes would in the land of, in the promised land. And so here we find where God chose from the Levi, and from them he placed them in the priesthood. And so that really tells us why in Hebrews it talks about those that would fill the role of the priesthood according to the Old Testament would have to offer for themselves a sacrifice before they could ever enter into the holy place. So they had to offer up a sacrifice for themselves. And then from there, Hebrews compares the better way, which is what? Jesus. Amen. Our high priest, who was without sin, did not have to cover his own sin. Amen. But was without blemish. He was that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. God, aren't you glad God still calls the weak? But he doesn't leave us that way. It's great to know that he doesn't leave us in our condition. In fact, Paul says it this way over in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26. We've not been long looked at this. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, nor many noble are called. There's very few of those. Doesn't mean there's none. Amen? I mean, we do have Kanye this week, right? I know you've seen that on Facebook. Kanye, he was a rapper. I pray that he has come to the Lord. But you know what? You can't mix it. He's going to have to come out. Amen? That God can do that. I hope more than anything that Kanye is sincere. If you haven't seen it, it's all over. Every time I see Facebook, I see about Kanye coming to the Lord. We get excited when the wise come or the rich or the mighty or the powerful. Amen? And God has the power to change lives, doesn't he? Amen. He can take Kanye and make him a new creation. Amen. He can do it. That's how God reveals his power in our day. In a great way, he reveals his strength by taking a life and changing it and making him a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I guess God kind of corrected me this week as I was reading that story about Korah and about the ground opening up and swallowing them alive. Because of this, their disobedience. And I was sitting there reading, I thought, God, if you could just do that one time. Yeah, I did say that. If you could just open it up one time when they're having one of those things, one of those parades, and they're mocking and they're saying, we don't want God. Just one time. And it was like God just spoke to me and said, you know how I do that now? I change that one. Amen. I reveal my power by taking a life that is in such disarray. A life that they'll say there's no hope for him. He is gone and changing it in an instant and making him a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, the world can ignore that. I know they can. And they can make light of it and say there's nothing to it. But you and I know this morning that's the power of God. Amen. That's God that's taking a Levi, taking an old person full of anger and strife and bitterness, amen, and choosing them, pulling them out, and placing within them his spirit and making them a new creature in Christ Jesus, and then a light unto the world. And so they're chosen of God. We find that first in this priesthood. And then secondly, we can find back over in the Old Testament scripture, like I said, we're bouncing between Exodus and Leviticus. But look at Leviticus 8. So we find that the priesthood was chosen of God. We're also going to find that they were cleansed. The priests are cleansed. They're cleansed. Leviticus chapter number 8. It's interesting to go through this. I don't know. There's a whole lot to read. I don't think we want to read the whole thing this morning. But look at this cleansing. It says, let's just start with verse 6 there, and we'll just kind of skip around a little bit. It says, and Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. So they had to be washed first. And he put upon them the coat, girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. He put the breastplate upon him also, and he put the breastplate, the Urim and the Thummim, and he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront, did he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so it says, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein, and sanctified them, and sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times, and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. And from there it talks about the bullock that was taken as a sacrifice. I think there was a bullock and two rams and an unleavened bread as well, sacrifice, and they would slay. There was a series. You can read this upon yourself here. We don't have to read it this morning, but you can see how that these sacrifices were slain. Now, all this was done by Moses. Amen. Before Aaron and his sons could ever offer sacrifice unto God, they had to be purified by Moses, and they would take the blood of the animals, and they would place a drop upon the earlobe of Aaron. They would take and place a drop upon the right thumb of Aaron, and then a drop upon the right big toe of Aaron and his sons. So there's a whole lot of things that had to go on here, and that was just part of it for this sanctification to take place. And there's much of it you can read, and you'll be like, well, why all of that? But when we read all of this, it speaks of, first off, the holiness of God and the separateness of God, in a sense that we cannot approach unto God in our nakedness. We have to have a covering. And so the priesthood, before they could ever serve, they had to have a linen on. And then on top of that, there were this series of a uniform or this garments that they had to put on. And you can read that as well. And so they were cleansed and they were clothed for the service. And if you read it, it's quite an attire. I've got a picture on the overhead. I think it's up there. Is it up there? And it kind of demonstrates this covering or this attire that they had to wear. And it was really quite impressive. When you look at all the colors and all that was involved there, the stones, the breastplate, and all that was there upon these clothing of the high priest and the priesthood, particularly the high priest. The priesthood, their garments were not quite as extravagant, but yet it was all still there. It was for the glory and for the beauty of the high priest. They had the breastplate, or the breastplate of judgment, they would call it, because it on them and had the stones of the Urim and the Thummim that they would use to discern the will of God. And there was different times it was used for that purpose. The ephod, the apron, they had the robe upon them, the broidered coat, the turban or the mitre, it's called. And upon that would be a sign of gold or a plate of gold that says holiness to the Lord. And so all this separateness, and so this great attire, this beautiful garment that they wore, this high priest, and they would anoint the high priest Aaron and his sons with oil, and then they would take the blood of the sacrifice. Now think about this for a second. Because here he is decked out in this great uniform. He's going to go in to offer the sacrifice to the Lord. And they sprinkle it with blood. And so they've got to sanctify him with blood. So I was reading that and I was like, oh, I got all dressed up and you're going to throw blood upon me. Man, and so it wasn't this. Now they're covered with blood as they go in to offer that. Why? Because they had to be sanctified. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so they had to be covered with the blood of these sacrifices. And so they were clothed, they were cleansed for service, they were clothed for service, and they were anointed for service. Look at Leviticus 8 and verse number 12. It says, and he poured the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And of course, when the Bible talks about sanctification, it talks about setting apart, or setting apart for service, setting apart for work, particularly the work in the temple here. They anointed them. Look at verse 30 there of Leviticus number 8. It says, and Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood which is upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments. So get the picture of that. Here's Aaron and it ducked out in his high priestly attire. Here are his sons. They're decked out in their garments as well. Moses takes and anoints them with the anointing oil, and then he takes the blood and he sprinkles them, throws the blood upon them as well. All of this was done so that these men from Levi, from the tribe of Levi, could all go into the presence of God and offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. But before they could ever do that, they had to be sanctified themselves. They had to be cleansed. They had to be purified. All right, so how does all that apply to us? Well, first off, we've got to be cleansed, right? We talk about this royal priesthood. We're talking about this holy nation. Jesus says it this way to Peter. Remember when Jesus was washing his disciples' feet there in John chapter number 13, and Jesus got to Peter, he said, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. What did Jesus tell him? If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Amen. There has to be a washing. Amen. There has to be a washing. Look what Paul says over in Titus chapter number 2 this morning. Look in Titus chapter number 2. He says it this way, 2 and 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's that same word that we're going to read over there in Peter again when he talks about you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. What does it mean to be peculiar? Doesn't mean odd or just odd. It means set apart. It means put aside for a purpose. Peculiar, set unto the Lord, used for his work, for his purpose, sanctified, cleansed. Amen. 3 and 5, Paul says it this way here in Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How are we washed? Well, we're washed here. He says he's washed us of the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We are cleansed and washed by the wonderful Spirit of God. We are cleansed by the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6, look what it says here, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's a bunch of Levites. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Amen? But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. We get into this priesthood by the washing. Just as Moses had to wash Aaron and his sons as well. They had to go through that cleansing process. We too, this morning, by the wonderful blood of Jesus and by the Spirit of the living God, are washed and cleansed. We were all these things, he says, but ye have been washed. Ye have been sanctified. Ye have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's the only way. There is no other way to be washed. There's no other way to be sanctified. There's no, you can't have Christianity without Christ. You can't be clean without Jesus. Amen. It is not the blood of bulls and goats. Could never take away, could never purge our conscience, but the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. That we can be made clean this morning. Look at Hebrews chapter number 10 with us. Hebrews chapter number 10, listen to what the writer of Hebrews tells us here. 10 and 22 says this, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. We can be confident in this stone. We don't have to be ashamed. Drawing near, we can draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Amen. Why? Because we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is, we were chosen, we were cleansed, we've been clothed for service. Amen. Clothed for service. Back in 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this time. Look there. First Corinthians 1 and 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. How can we glory this morning? We glory in the Lord. Amen. Not because of something that we've done, not because of our works, not because of our abilities, but we glory this morning because we have been clothed with his righteousness. Amen. We've been clothed. He's given us his garments. Amen. He's given us his garments. And as we started off this morning talking about that, the love the Father has bestowed upon us, the love that is, as Paul says over in Romans chapter 5, verse number 5, he says this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. As we were singing this morning, Lord, I want more of you. Amen. What do we think about when we say we want more of you? Are we saying we want, God, we want more miracles? God, we want more tongues. We want more prophecy. No, God, what we want is we want more of your love. God, we want to show the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. And as the high priest wore that garment and he had that breastplate on, and the breastplate had these stones, and upon those stones was engraved the each of the tribes of Israel. Of the 12 tribes, the name was graven upon those stones. And even on his shoulders, there were the straps that held the breastplate in place. And upon those as well were engraved these 12 tribes of Israel. And you think, well, why upon the shoulders and why upon the breastplate? And it's because they were there to bear the load of the tribes. They were there to represent the tribes. It was close to their heart and upon their shoulders. And you can't help but think about, you know, that we too, as the children of God, are called to bear one another's burdens, that we're called to care for one another, that we're called to love as Christ has loved us. And we're called to do those very same things. And as a priesthood, it's more than just saying, okay, I'm a priest this morning. I get to enjoy all the benefits of being a priest. And thank God there are a lot of benefits. We have access to God. I mean, access. And that's really what the priesthood represents. It represents access. And so when Peter here is talking about you are a royal priesthood and holy nation, he's saying you have as much access unto the holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ as only Aaron and his descendants had. We have that this morning. I mean, that we can call on the name of the Lord and know that he hears us, but we don't want to take that lightly. We don't want to take advantage of it. There's so many people say, well, I'm a Christian, and don't realize what all that entails. God, just thank you, Lord, that we understand that you're a holy, you're a righteous God. I mean, right from the start, God demonstrated that with Aaron and his sons, didn't he? Remember, it's not long after what we were just reading over there in Exodus and Leviticus. The instruction was given in Exodus. In Leviticus, you can read what was carried out upon Aaron and his sons. But there were two of Aaron's sons that just took light of it and didn't really take it too seriously. Because in the very next chapter, we're reading chapters 8 and 9, and in chapter number 10, you're going to find where the Bible says that Nadab and Abihu went in into the presence of the Lord, and they offered strange fire unto God. And what happened to them? They were consumed. Amen. The fire of God fell and consumed them, killed them right there because they had offered that strange fire unto God. I knew that story in the Bible, but I didn't realize how quick it had happened from the time that they were appointed to be in the priesthood. In the very next chapter, we find where they're offering the strange fire unto God. You know, they apparently didn't take it too seriously. Well, you know, does it really matter what kind of fire we offer? I know God says we need to get it from the brazen altar, and it needs to be made a certain way in a certain time of day, a certain way it was made, a certain type of fire, a certain place we get it in a certain time. But they offered strange fire. I know we can debate what that was exactly and talk about that to where they probably have different opinions on it, but it really just means other than. It was fire other than what God had instructed them to burn. And so whether it was from the wrong place or whether it was from the wrong makeup or whether it was offered at the wrong time, whatever it was, they took light and offered it unto God, and God consumed them because of it. Amen. But you and I, because of Jesus Christ this morning and the blood of Jesus, can come in full assurance into the presence of God. Amen. Knowing that it's all in him. It's all because of the work that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf. Amen. That we have, as John put it, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. We have an anointing. Amen. We have the power of God in our life. We have the presence of God in our life, and that we have been called. And really, if you read, let's go back to 1 Peter, and we're going to wrap this up this morning, this part of the priesthood. It says, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Offer up the spiritual sacrifice. We don't have to go out and slay animals this morning. You didn't have to go bring in some type of burnt offering this morning. You didn't have to come bring your unleavened bread. Amen. But we still have these spiritual sacrifices that we lift up to God. Amen. What immediately comes to my mind is that sacrifice of praise. How many know we can come into the presence of God and offer a sacrifice of praise unto our God? We offer a sacrifice of praise. We come into the Lord and we give God praise and thanks for the great things that he has done, for the great work that he has accomplished for us this morning. Look at chapter 1, verse 14, back in 1 Peter 1. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And just as the priesthood of the Old Testament scripture was called unto obedience, we too this morning are called unto obedience. That we're called to walk in obedience to God and to his wonderful word. And so we've been called, we've been cleansed, we've been clothed, we've been empowered, and we've been ordained to obedience this morning. And all this that we have in Christ Jesus wrapped up just in that one word there about the priesthood, to offer unto God spiritual sacrifice, accepted of God by Jesus Christ. So from there we go, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? God, I want more of you. Father, I want not only to partake of the benefits of the priesthood, but Father, I want to serve. I want to minister. I want to bear. I want others upon our hearts. Amen. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. God, let your love flow through us. So what does it mean that when you talk about love, why do you keep talking about all that love? Well, read 1 Corinthians 13. You talk about what it means to be loved, what true love is, that suffers long as it's come. Matter of fact, it says there in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, I'm sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. I'm nothing. But charity suffereth long and is kind, vaunteth not itself, is not prideful, is not puffed up. Amen. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So what do we really need? When we think about all that, we say, God, Lord, I want to rejoice in the truth this morning. Well, then we need the love of God. Amen. Lord, I want to not be lifted up in pride. Then we need more of God's love. God, I want to reach out and bear the load of others' people's. God, let your love be shed abroad in our heart. And so you say, well, that really isn't demonstrating the type of power I want to demonstrate this world. I want that ground opening, swallowing up kind of power. Amen. But Jesus says, how about you demonstrate the love that I showed, the love that can change a life in an instant. Amen. The love that can reach out to the one in the gutter, the one that, as the brother was sharing his testimony over there, that reached out and talked about how that he had went into this country, and there was this woman there that was lame, and she was laying up there, and God told her to go pray for that woman, and she was like paralyzed all the way, could never walk. And he said he went into that place, and the woman's house was just stinking. It was just awful smell. He says, I didn't want to go pray for her. The last thing I want to do is get near her. And he says he just kind of went down and prayed for her and then stepped back. And he talked about how that God just worked a miracle in that woman's life, and that she just didn't quite understand what had happened there. And so when she got up off of that bed and her legs had got strength, he said that she was just like in a state of shock, sitting there in shock. And he's like, well, what's wrong? Why is she not rejoicing? He said, God spoke to him and said, because she doesn't know about my love. Go show her my love. Go give her a hug. He's like, I don't want to hug that woman. She stinks. She smells awful. God said, go hug her. So the man said, I went. I put my arms around her. He said, he smelled. There was no stink. He said, he got down against her shoulder. He said, there was no stink. He said, I buried my head in her shoulder. There was no stink. He's like, I don't know what happened. She no longer stinks. And God spoke to him and said, now you see her as I see her. Amen. Why? Because God's able to cleanse us. He takes out our stink, doesn't he? Amen. I'm not telling you not go home and bathe this week. I'm just telling you we stink in our sins. But boy, when God gets a hold of us and changes our life, I want to be that. That's who God sent us to, right? He sent us to the stink. He sent us to minister to the stinking. He sent us to minister to the lost, to the dying, and not just point our finger at them and say, you're lost and you're dying. Amen. But he sent us with words of life. Amen. He's anointed our ears so we could hear. He's anointed our hands so that we can work. He's anointed our foot so that we can walk. Amen. He's anointed these things for us because we're in the priesthood. We are a royal priesthood and holy nation. Amen. Let us offer a sacrifice of praise today. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. God, thank you for the priesthood. God, thank you that we are kings and priests in the kingdom of our God. Lord, that you have not excluded us. You have not, God, reserved this for just a certain few people, God, a certain number. But you've called us all into this priesthood. God, male and female alike, God, we've been placed into this kingdom of God, Lord, to serve as kings and priests. And we're so thankful for that today. God, let us not just enjoy the benefits, but Lord, let us realize there's a work to do in this priesthood. And God, that there are sacrifices to be offered. And Lord, we want to be of those that not just enjoy the privileges, God, but are ready to go to work. God, anoint our ears to hear. God, anoint our hands to reach out and work. Lord, and anoint our feet, God, that our walk might be pleasing unto you. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. If you want to pray, this altar's open. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Amen. But let's just take a few moments and just meditate upon the Lord. Thank you, Lord.